of Romans chapter 4 and verse number 6. Romans chapter 4, verse number 6. Even as David also describeth the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works, saying, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. Let's stop here and pray. Lord, thank you so much. I pray that you'd help us to wrap the service up tonight. Already we've heard of the gospel that has broken through in so many ways and into lives that were dark and that were lost and searching. And Lord, thank you so much. Thank you so much for each one of the testimonies. And Lord, I'm so grateful to be saved here tonight also. So grateful. I am a blessed man, a happy man, because of the pardon that I received in Jesus Christ. Lord, thank you. I pray that tonight you'd help us to see how blessed, how ultimately happy we are because of that salvation. So, Lord, I pray that you just bless, open up your word to us in Jesus' name. Amen. The word blessed or blessed means supremely blessed or fortunate, or happy is another word for blessed. Whenever you read that word blessed, I am blessed, that means I'm happy. I'm in a position of great fortune, the attribution of good fortune. Coming to the place of being blessed is coming to the place of saying, wow, thank the Lord. A man can be overjoyed in his salvation because he's been forgiven. He doesn't deserve deliverance or salvation, but he's been pardoned. He's been justified. He's been sanctified. He's been adopted into the royal family. What a case. What a blessing it is to know that you're saved. From rags to riches. From being condemned to being adopted into the family of God. From being in debt to unimaginably wealthy. And that's believers today, saints, who, if you're related to the Heavenly Father, you're related to the owner of all the universe, how shall he not with him give us all things freely because of his love for us, the Bible says. Every saved person understands this. Every saved individual is blessed. It's the lost who can't seem to get it here. Jesus dealing with the self-righteous Pharisee in Luke chapter 7, verse 36. Let's read this quickly. And one of the Pharisees desired in him that he would eat with him. Then he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. You got to understand, this man was lost. This man was self-righteous. He thought he was saved. He thought everything was right between him and God. But there was a grave problem that Jesus brought out here. But anyway, verse 37, and behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment and stood at his feet behind him, weeping, began to wash his feet with tears, and did wipe them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with the ointment. Now when the Pharisee which had bidden him saw it, he spake within himself, saying, this man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that toucheth him, for she is a sinner. And Jesus answering said unto him, Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee. And he said, Master, say on. There was a certain creditor which had two debtors. The one owed 500 pence and the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me, Jesus asks this Pharisee, tell me therefore, which of them will love him most? Boy, that was a great question, a great story to illustrate the situation, how this woman was extremely grateful to the king for her pardon, and this Pharisee wasn't there at all. Didn't have the same mindset. And so he gives that illustration. One owed quite a bit, one owed just a little bit, and the owner forgave them both. Who's going to be more grateful? And of course the answer is, well, the one to whom he forgave most. This salvation story applies to every saved person. They're undeniable truths. When you talk about salvation, you take a look at what's going on here. Verse 37, it says, and behold, a woman in the city which was a sinner. You have to be a sinner. You have to understand your sin. You have to understand your condition before God. Brother Jeho started off with the testimonies about it took him the longest because he was a good man. He was a conscientious person like so many religious people around here. Good, or trying to go about establishing their own religion, their own righteousness, the Bible says, then they miss the righteousness of Christ because of their condition. A person must know that they're a sinner. A person must know their condition. That's who we are. We're undone. We're lacking. We're insufficient under the condemnation of God. Self-righteous folks can never be saved. That's one person that Jesus cannot save or will not save, and that is the self-righteous, the one who thinks that they're okay, and they're not. They don't see their actual condition before God. Their actual condition is that they're sinners, they're condemned, they're in debt, marred, filthy, separated, and at odds with God, at enmity with God, the Bible says. That's a sinner. And this woman that came was a sinner. You got to be a sinner. You got to understand your condition before God before you can be saved. You must be sick before you need a physician and go to the great physician. See, the Pharisee downplayed the 50 pence that he thought he owed. Yeah, this other guy owes quite a bit, and well, I don't owe that much because I'm pretty good. I may have flubbed up here and there, but I just owe a little bit. What he did was he downplayed his debt to God, his transgression. It was small, nothing. In light of all the good that I do, then I'm pretty good. I'm a conscientious man. I'm better than others. And his comparison with others, he thought he owed just a little bit. But that's not the case. The Bible says here in verse 42, when they had nothing to pay, neither the one that owed a lot or one that owed a little, they had nothing to pay. They were unable to pay the debt. They had inability before God, spiritual paralysis. You see, they weighed in God's balances and were found wanting, as the Bible says in Daniel chapter 5. They were not making the grade. All our righteousnesses, the Bible says, are filthy. They're tainted. They're marred. They're sullied. Exodus chapter 20, verse 25, and if thou wilt make me an altar of stone, God says, when you want to worship me and you're going to be making an altar, thou shalt not build of it a hewn stone. That means cut stone or you just leave it alone. Leave it natural. Don't be working on it. For if thou lift up thy tool upon it, thou hast polluted it. Anything that we touch when it comes to honoring God or worshiping God, when we put our hand to it, because of our sinfulness, because of our heart, because of our condition, we defile it. But it says here that both of the example of those that owed, they had nothing to pay. It's not fruit of the ground or of no personal value, no efforts, no counterbalance to evil. You can't say, well, I've been pretty good, and so therefore I'm not in need like that. No. Sin, all sin brings death. The wages of sin is death. The soul that sins, the Bible says, it shall die. Now, look at also in this example that Jesus gave, verse number 42. It says that he frankly forgave them both. You see, what happened was the man that was owed here, he gave a full and a sufficient payment to both of them. A pardon to both of them. He forgave them both. Frankly forgave them both. A full pardon. It's not that the governor says, you did it, but you can go without payment. No, that's not justice. That's dishonesty. No, justice served says the penalty must be paid. Someone must pay. And that's where Jesus stepped in. He's the one that was the substitutionary atonement for our sin. He's the one that stepped in for us and paid the penalty. He would do that for me. Jesus would die for me. I'm the one guilty, but he's the one that took the rap. He's the one that paid the cost before a righteous God. He was the one that actually bore the penalty of my sin. Yeah, he did it. He loves me that much. And that's where David's words come in, where we started in Romans chapter 4, verse 6. Even as David also describeth a blessedness. The happiness, the supremely blessed, the fortunate, the happy man, the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works, saying, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. This is where the forgiven, the saved, are ultimately blessed. God will never impute sin on the redeemed. That means he'll never charge to the account of, he'll never add up, he'll never reckon sin to the saved. Thank the Lord for that. We're sinners and we're guilty, but the Bible says, to whom the Lord will not impute sin. He's not going to charge it to our account. Thank the Lord. Romans 8:33, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? The answer is nobody. It is God that justifieth. Nobody can ever charge me for a crime that was fully paid for by our substitute, the Lamb of God. So the saved are blessed. They're ultimately happy. The saved are ultimately blessed by, number one, his provision. And that's the salvation that's offered. Aren't you glad that you're saved? Aren't you glad that that provision was made? That Jesus loved us enough to die for us? Revelation 5:2, and I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof? And no man in heaven, nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to loose to look thereon. And I wept much, because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. There was the cry that went out, is anybody worthy? Has anybody done it? Has anybody made the grade? And one of the elders said unto me, weep not, behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. It's Jesus. He's the one. He's the only one that's worthy. He's the only one that made the payment that would satisfy a righteous God. It was the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world, Revelation 13. That's Jesus. Salvation offered to redeem. And that's why here in the scene of heaven, and there's nobody worthy, and here he's weeping, but then he sees Jesus, and there's tears of joy. Thank the Lord. What a cost. What provision for my salvation. What a rescue. Jesus died for me. He died in your place. That's his provision. The saved are blessed. They're ultimately happy because of his provision, because of his pardon. Thank the Lord. 1 Peter 3:18, for Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. And we're pardoned. I don't have to pay. Jesus paid. We're blessed by his provision, by his pardon, by his passion, by his love for us. 1 John 3, behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Now are we the sons of God because of his love. Let's rejoice in our salvation, in our state, in our Savior tonight. Thank the Lord that I'm saved. Thank the Lord that you're saved if you are, if you know that for sure. But if you're standing back here and you say like the Pharisee says, what? I don't get it. I don't get it. What's the big deal about? What is she so grateful for? What is she showing her love for the Savior like this for? What in the world? And if you're like that saying, wait, what? Then you might be the one in need, like the Pharisee. You might be the one apart from salvation, not displaying the characteristics of a blessed saint, because David said, blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. Blessed is the man. We are blessed. Aren't you glad that you're saved? Let's thank the Lord tonight. Listen, friend, you heard enough many testimonies here tonight, and over and over and over you'll hear, I thought I was saved. I mean, I understood some of the things up here, but I didn't exactly have it here. Didn't get this repentance thing. Didn't get this born-again thing. Maybe that's you tonight. Maybe that's you saying, you know what, preacher, it's not clear. It's still not clear. I'm part of a church. I understand the gospel might even be able to lead someone to Christ, but you don't know for sure that heaven is your home. You don't know for sure that you're saved. What a great night to get it settled. What a great night to stop right here and say, you know what? God is speaking to my heart, and I need to be saved. I need to get a hold of the pardon that's offered to me. Every head bowed. Nobody looking for just a moment.